Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 18th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
We live in a very strange time.
Yes.
I obviously, there's, you know, political stuff, which we won't talk about because this is not a political podcast. But the film industry is the film and television industry, like it's in a weird and maybe some would say bad place.
Yeah, well, I think you can only say bad place, right? I don't think there's a way to say actually this part of it is good.
I mean, yeah, every now and then like a hit breaks through and people are like, maybe this is the hope, you know. And it's strange because I don't think there is. And yes, I understand, because we have the internet and like TikTok and YouTube and blah, 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 short form content. People feel like that's a huge disruption. Then there's the streaming services, Netflix in particular, that, you know, are disrupting the standard models as well. Mm-hmm. But I still think there people love seeing movies and people love watching television. I don't think the appetite has waned for that, but like capitalism collapsing in on itself has like finally like overtaken the film industry.
Absolutely.
And
finally.
No, I mean, like, you know, it's going to do it for every industry. And I think the film the film industry was one of the last holdouts because it was a little bit like, it was a little bit protected in the sense that it was like a thing that everybody wanted. And like, even though it was always about making money, there was so many people gravitated toward it because of what they loved, you know, and the, and because of that, I feel like it took a while before mega corporations finally were able to start gobbling up studios, but that is happening.
Yes. 1,000%.
And because of that, you know, what is a movie star?
Yeah. I mean,
right? What is a movie?
It's tough. I did kind of feel like movie stars, they're starting to kind of make a resurgence. Like Sinners, for instance, made me feel maybe the star is back.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I guess.
Perhaps, you know.
Well, I feel like, isn't Sinners more about the auteur director than the star? I mean, Michael B. Jordan is huge, but
But I did feel, at least my feeling afterwards, is that I was as there for them as I was for what Coogler was doing.
Yeah.
I think. Namely, Jordan and Haley.
Right.
Namely.
I'm talking all about all this because I feel like the movie we're about to review today is a film that it in the olden days... And I guess we're old now, so I can call them the olden days.
Olden days.
The 90s, the early 2000s. I just feel like this is a film. This is a straight to video, you know, straight to VHS, straight to DVD movie that is specifically made so that it could trick, you know, people who don't really know about movies into watching the, you know, the knockoff version of a film that has already done. Well, do you remember that? Do you remember going to like Blockbuster or whatever video store and like, and then you would see, and like, you know, like Armageddon would be out and like, and then they'd be like, The Deep Big Impact? Rock.
Or, yeah, oh, but right. Because it's not the same as that, right? Like, it's not the same as that. Deep Impact and Armageddon or like Dante's Peak and Volcano.
No, not dueling. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, you would go, and I'm trying, okay. I have to think
you mean like Battle Los Angeles and, you mean like Battle Los Angeles and the Battle of Los Angeles? Like, there was literally like a sci-fi.
Yeah, they would, like they would the, do that, yeah. Right? Like, it would be like I'm trying to think of like a big popular.
You see it with sci-fi a lot. You see it with sci-fi specifically a lot. Yeah.
But they would always do that. I honestly can't. I should have looked this up. Like, yeah. And you would just be like, oh, it's just like some B movie with like, you know, D-list actors in something where they're just like, hey, this is this version of that. You know,
yeah.
Like Jaws would come out and then they'd be like Shark. You know,
right? Yeah.
And you'd be exactly. like, what?
Yeah. Kel Mitchell is in one of these movies. That's why Battle of Los Angeles came to Got mind. It. He's in like...
Oh, they really did make a knockoff version of Battle Los Angeles.
Yes. And like, and either he's in that or I'm looking and I don't see. Right. Oh, it's because all that replay.
Yeah.
He's in... I'm sorry. This is taking up too much. Wait,
no, it's
more
fine.
Time. But he's in like some version of a movie like that. That's like,
no,
that,
I believe like... it. I believe it. And I've already told, I feel like I must have told my Kel story on this when I went and auditioned for Wild
Now. You might have, but honestly, now I want to hear it again.
Well,
you
know? It's just that, it's just real quick for the new listeners. This is a long time ago. This is, holy crap. This was 11 years ago.
Okay, there we go, baby.
I feel so old. 11 years ago, I auditioned for Wild and Out, and I got a call back.
Let's go.
It was in LA, and they had us all in this room in the callback, like all of us who were auditioning, and freaking in the corner sitting was like Kel Mitchell, like by himself, and we were all like, you know, a lot of us were, you know, I was in my early 20s. I think other people were also in their early 20s. And we were all looking, we were all like whispering, like, is that Kel? And then finally somebody was like, Kel, I love you. Like, said something like that. He was like, oh, thanks. Like, he was like really humble and nice. And we were all like, why is Kel here? And then like when we did the audition, Nick Cannon wound up not showing up. He was like stuck in traffic. So we were like late. We like did the audition late. And then finally they were like, actually, he's not coming. And like one of the producers like went over to Kel and like apologized to him specifically, but it was in front of us. So it was loud enough for all of us to hear.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we were just like,
I
was just like, it was just, I don't know.
Just to clarify, it is, there was Battle Los Angeles.
Yes.
That came out. And then Battle of Los Angeles.
Right.
Came. They're both alien movie, you know?
Yeah. And they're just like, they'd make the lesser version of something, you know? But this is, that's what it was. That was the structure. But now I don't know where we are. We're so in the depths. Oh, God. I just wish Hollywood would just have it needs a little elevation, you know?
All right. No. No,
it just needs a push. It needs a
no. It
oh,
no.
God. And don't act can we like get some elevation?
Just... Okay. All right.
What?
All right.
Don't act like
nothing.
Oh,
don't act like no. Don't then say oh huh. as if
you
didn't realize you said the title.
Goodness. Did everybody realize they were getting such?
Of course, everyone knew that this was we were going
comedy?
To this. We all knew we were building to. Can we get some kind of elevation?
Ooh. Nice,
Kel's
James.
Like the lead of this, I think.
All right, let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock,
James the Third,
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say? You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Black actors. All right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
A magic bullet. You're talking about a magic bullet. Something like that. The line was something like that.
Mad about it in a way that didn't quite make sense to me. Yes, that was a line. That was, yeah. Guys, thank you so much for listening, for joining in. Hey, let me tell you a little bit about this podcast, okay?
For those of you listening for the first time, someone who said, Elevation!
And we were like, what the heck is going on? Guys, we are a film review podcast. We do review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
That's right.
Hollywood's in a crazy place. There's usually three of us. There's only two of us today. Jerrod Milligan is not here.
No.
He's booked and busy and booked.
He is busy and booked and booked and busy. And busy.
Okay, we love a booking. Now, the person you're listening to now, who honestly wouldn't be caught dead below 8,000 feet if this was the circumstances of life.
The number
on the
of times they go
just
below.
Wouldn't. Sorry, wouldn't be caught dead. Dude, don't care. Everybody dies. Sorry, son. that's the voice of Jonathan Braylock.
And this voice, who probably wouldn't have made it to above 8,000 feet. Like, the everything would have gone down.
To start. Right.
And I probably wouldn't have made it up to 8,000 feet. This voice is James III.
I wonder how long it took them to realize that that was the marker.
I mean, come on. How many people are left? There can't be too many people left in general. Right. In general. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's us. Today we are reviewing the film Elevation. This movie, if you're saying what is this? You're not alone. This movie came out in 2024. Yes, it did. It actually came out in theaters. Believe it or not.
This came out in theaters?
This came out in theaters November 8th, 2024.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did. It did. It made $3.6 million at the box office.
Oh, wow. And like intentionally limited release. Like, they had a theatrical release because... Wait, where did we watch this on? Max or Net?
We watched it on Max. It was only released... No, it wasn't that limited, James. It was released in 1,400 theaters.
Oh. Well,
1,400 is a big... It's not the widest. Obviously, like, the widest, we get up to 3,000 or maybe almost 4,000. But 1,400 means that it was playing in pretty much every state.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I mean, definitely every state. In most cities, this movie was playing. It was in theaters, apparently, according to... Box Office Mojo, it was in theaters.
What you're about to say is a lie.
For 184 days.
No way! No,
I don't even understand. I don't understand how, because it couldn't have been making money.
There's no way. There was just someone who, I remember when I worked in the movie theater, my manager would be like, we just have that, so we're going to put it on. Like that's the way it stayed for that long.
It couldn't have possibly actually been, because by the time... Literally in week two, it was already making below $100,000 a day.
Yeah, no way. No way.
It only made $3.6 million. The budget was $18 million.
Okay.
So this is what we call a bomb.
Interesting.
Now, it's not the biggest box office flop of all time, because of it didn't cost that much to make. But it definitely did not make its money. Now, this movie does star Anthony Mackie. It stars Marina Baccarin, who...
Yes.
Just one of the most beautiful people on the face of this earth.
Yes. And frankly, I haven't seen her in much, but I was glad she had something to do in this movie. They gave her something to do. Unlike the Deadpool films.
Yeah.
They just gave her less and less to do each movie. For no reason at all. But no reason at all. You know what? What if she did less? That was how they wrote it. Why? Why? She was at the core of the first film. She was at the core.
Yeah, sorry, she was. Go ahead. She was. I know. No. You're right. You're absolutely right. And she was still supposedly the core of the second.
Well, she movie. Was. She was his driving force. You know, he was. She was his motivation. Right. You know, the off screen girlfriend.
I know. He did. Her dirty.
Really?
And the reason we've been talking so much about the knockoff movies, whatever, this, okay, so the...
Yeah, what do you say this movie is?
The premise of this film, the log line is that a single father and two women venture from the safety of their homes to face monstrous creatures to save the life of a young boy.
Right.
The conceit of this film is that there are aliens that have invaded Earth, or monsters, I don't know. We don't know if they're aliens,
monsters,
I guess.
Yeah, no, we don't know.
Monsters that have invaded Earth, and
they come from the ground, so they
come
make
from the
it
ground.
They keep it kind of mysterious as to, like, are they native? You know, are they from
right.
God? Are they from, you know, where are they from?
Sure. Yeah. But I guess I mean the trailer is like, hey, monsters.
Okay, yeah, monsters.
The,
yeah.
The one thing that these monsters can't do is go above 8,000 feet. So.
Yeah. So that's where you better stay.
Stay over 8,000 feet. Okay. What does that remind you of?
It reminds me of what, like Quiet Place?
Yes, A Quiet Place.
Quiet Place.
Monsters, we don't know where they came from. They killed everybody. There's not that many people left on Earth. The one thing the people left on Earth have to do, be quiet.
Be quiet. That's it. Shut up.
If you be quiet, you'll live. If you stay above 8,000 feet, you'll live.
You live. What was the Sandra Bullock one? The blind
Bird,
one? Where you,
yes, very similar.
I wanted to say
right.
The Blind Side.
Bird Box. It was like, Bird Box was like, hey, don't look.
What if they couldn't see? What if they you couldn't see them? You couldn't see them? What
you're not allowed to see them. If you open your eyes, you'll die. Right? Wasn't that what it was?
What an absurd. Yes. I mean, there's a great Doctor Who that's kind of like that too. But
if you open your eyes, you'll die.
If you open your eyes, you're dead.
If you make a noise, you're dead.
Absurd. Make a noise, you're dead.
If you go below 8,000 feet,
you're dead.
You're dead.
But a thing that truly for at least four scenes of this movie, I go, what are the mechanics of what I'm watching? Because they seemingly keep going back to the same. Okay. They seemingly keep going below 8,000 feet and then circling back to their OG camp and then it never quite felt like they were moving forward.
Supposed to be going
to different signposts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as you can imagine, reviews, not so kind. This has 55% on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, get this. Popcorn meter, 80%.
There it is.
There aren't a lot of ratings on the popcorn meter, but...
But they liked it, though.
But the people who rated it liked it.
They liked it. Cash in on the basketball playoffs with Prize Picks. Don't miss your last chance to add your favorite players from the court to your Prize Picks lineup. Whether it's points, rebounds, assists, take your pick of more or less for your shot to win up to 2,000 times your cash today. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesday. Each Tuesday, Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value for your lineups. This week on Prize Picks, I'm looking at the basketball board and selecting Jason Tatum for more than 8 rebounds. Download the app today and use code HOLLYWOOD to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code HOLLYWOOD to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
And that's it, right? That we can go right into initial thoughts, I think.
I think we can. Yeah.
I think we can. Please.
I'll start and just say that I feel like, you know, I'm always surprised when MCU actors have, like, so many other films that they do outside of. And for a while, it felt like it was like only Sebastian Stan. But when you really look at it, Anthony Mackie has also been releasing like these indie He has so many.
It was called Outside the Wire.
Yes, Outside the Wire. You know, that that other horror movie he did a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. This one, I feel like he's just like quietly doing all of these movies. And I say quietly because they're all like, The Banker. We did that one too.
Right? He's in The Banker, right?
Like the movies don't have as much prestige as the ones that Sebastian Stan is getting to do.
I think he wants them to.
But he has so many under his belt. So it was nice to kind of like watch him, you know, like kind of existing in this world. And I will say that, like, you know, for some of it, I was like, ooh, this is thrilling to an extent. But the monster was so unbeatable that it kind of became like, it was like, well, what am I hoping for? You know, like there was points where it was just like, I don't think there's anything really for me to latch on to. And then the ways that it's reductive of these other things, I don't know. I will say that I would watch this next one. Like if they're the thing that they tease at the end, if they're like, we're just going to do a bunch of these and they're, you know, they don't cost too much money and we're making them and blah, blah, blah. But I'm not like, you know, this isn't something to write home about for me.
No.
Not something to write home about. I thought they didn't. I liked how they kind of also evolved the way that we saw and interacted with the monster. Not a ton, but specifically like when they're in the hospital and we're just seeing like the just seeing the tentacles popping through. Like it's like, oh, that's cool. That kind of evolves from the last way we interacted with it. But yeah, I that's mostly how, you know, I just kind of feel like, you know, like, man. I guess I wanted something. I don't know what I wanted, but a little bit more oomph to this one.
Yeah, this movie's tough. I wasn't a huge fan, I have to say, sadly, as was not the general public. I think this is one of those, this feels like a TV movie.
Yes.
Or straight to DVD movie. I cannot believe it was released in theaters. And I got a bit surprised Anthony Mackie is starring in this. I
surprised that he did it.
Yeah, because I don't... Now, look, so interesting because, like, Anthony Mackie, he should be, like, a bona fide A-list star, right?
Absolutely, 1,000%.
He clearly, he has led several films.
Several, yeah.
The last one being freaking Captain, a Marvel movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which makes me think that's why they released it in theaters. Like, maybe they weren't going to, but they were like, oh, you know, Captain America's coming out. Maybe we can juice it up, you know.
But even by the time he, like, so apparently this movie went into production in 2023. Mm-hmm. You know, it was announced in October 2022. By that time, he had already done The Banker. I'm sure he had done Outside the Wire. Like, he knew he was going to be Captain America at this point. Right?
Yeah, it was announced. It would have been announced, and or the show was already.
And the show was either going or about
going
to
go, or about come. To come out. Yeah.
So like, it's hard to make movies, and sometimes people just want to have fun. And it's not like there's a nice little story in here. Like, but it does feel like television. Like, it's not this. Okay, I think the reason The Quiet Place works so well, The Quiet Place. Now the sequels. Much bigger, right? Quiet Place 2, really big. Day one, Quiet Place Day 1 is like huge in terms of scale, right? This movie is more like the first The Quiet Place, because Bird Box is huge in scale too. This movie is more like the first Quiet Place, which is like, we're really actually, even though this huge disaster happened to the earth, we're only going to tell the story of one family, right? But I think it works so well, one, because the idea of having to be quiet just lends itself so well to horror. I would say Elevation is actually more of an action movie and less of a horror film. Like, it doesn't really feel like horror. It's not really scary. Almost at all, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's tense. Like, you don't want the people to die, but it's never scary. A Quiet Place actually is, like, pretty scary at times, you know?
Yeah. The closest we get, I think, is that cave sequence.
Yeah.
But then even that, you know, skews thrilling action.
Just more action. Yeah. And I also feel like like the story of the family. I don't know. It just for whatever reason, like it just worked better. I think the conceit of you have to be quiet is just a stronger one than you have to be above.
You have to stay above 8,000 feet. It just feels like it feels unnatural. You know, you go, well, then why do you ever you really question why do you ever leave? You know?
Yeah, because ultimately you're just like, well, there are people who live in the mountains.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand that people won't. It's like, oh, like, why do we like, oh, we have to live this life. And it's like, yeah, I guess you do now.
Right. There's a bunch of giant monsters out
there. Yeah. It's not like you can't eventually get to a place where you're just living like a regular normal life in the like it might not be the like super modern life you want to live, but like mm-hmm. also like and look, I was obviously being like purposely callous in my intro, but like there is a little bit of like people get sick and die. Like that does happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and like not every country has like the most modern medicine. And like
yeah.
You know, it's sad, but you live and you move on. Like the idea that you would sacrifice so many lives to extend the life of somebody else a little bit who has a disease that is probably going to kill them young anyway. Like I understand like on a guttural level, like it makes sense. Like Anthony Mackie's father, he's going to go and try to save his son. That makes sense. But like,
I don't get why Katie leaves.
Yeah.
I mean, like Katie leaves for the same reason that I was championing Homegirl in Sinners, who was like, we got to fight him, you know?
Right.
like that's why she leaves. But it's also like, somebody just died doing the same thing. So why are you, like, you stay, let him go.
Right.
you know, like.
Yeah, he's the rest of his life. And if he dies, he dies. And that's life. I don't know. I think, like. And that's the thing with in a quiet place, they are just like, we're going to live. Like, we're trying not to die, but we have figured out how to live life just being quiet.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Exactly.
Things go awry, but like, that's what they're trying to do. They're not trying to save humankind. They're not, you know, anyway, that all that being said, I just feel like this is a movie where it feels like it's like everybody just it's like okay like I am so curious to know like who was passionate about this and if there was someone passionate about it you know passionate about like and I guess like not every movie needs to be that necessarily, but it's funny because it's like, well, this also didn't make money and like I don't know why people thought it was going to. So like if no one was passionate about it and it's not making money, what was the point?
Afterwards, I did look up the writers because it seemed like them throwing to a potential sequel at the end. To me, I was like, oh, they might be interested in continuing, like whatever this is. Like, who are they and how did they end up getting together and working? Mm-hmm. You know, like it felt like, okay, maybe this is something that somebody was an idea somebody was tossing around for a while. And they were like, you know, it felt like potentially somebody was like, oh, I finally get to make this, you know, or whatever.
Right.
I don't know if that's true, but that's who I would wager. If anybody was excited about it, I would wager, you know, there's somebody with a story by credit somewhere who is like, my alien movie is finally got made or whatever.
What did you find out anything about the?
No, I mean, I saw that one guy like,
three credited writers here.
Yeah. Hold on.
Okay. One of them wrote for SEAL Teams that his biggest credit
is SEAL Team.
SEAL Team 6. Oh, sorry. SEAL Team. Sorry. I'm saying 6. I'm adding 6 because that's the video game.
Because that's who they are. Because that's the SEAL Team 6.
So he wrote for the show the SEAL Team, which, okay.
Yeah. John Glenn, right? And then,
like, also Kenny Ryan, same thing.
Oh, he also wrote Eagle Eye. I think John Glenn was excited about this. And then maybe
wrote for SEAL Team.
Yeah. So I bet, to me, depending on who came up with the idea for, okay, these guys are co-producers and John is like the bigger kind of.
Yeah, it's his thing,
Right. Yeah. So I would bet John was excited about it. And, you know, and then the other two.
No, honestly, you actually think so? Or
potentially, yeah.
Like, was he excited about it in the sense of like, hey, this part will probably sell.
Right. Or was he just like another paycheck? Is that what you mean?
I mean, like, he was like, hey, I have an idea that I think a movie studio would buy and we could convince them that it will make money. And then the studio's like, well, A Quiet Place did well. I guess we'll try this.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they thought that this was going to make money, I guess. Right? They must have thought this was going to make money because this is not a film. Look, there are some films that are made that are like, man, that movie, even if it wasn't good, it was like clearly they thought like this is an art house movie or whatever. Like,
yeah,
this is a passion project or whatever it is. Like, and then it just doesn't make money and it also doesn't get awards or whatever. That's fine. This feels like a film that was they thought they were going to make money.
The director wrote Timeline, wrote Adjustment Bureau, and wrote The Banker. So that's two Anthony Mackie things. And
right, Anthony Mackie's in them. Right.
And a couple of other sci-fi things.
Oh, he also wrote, whoa, he's got a lot of credits. He wrote Ocean's 12.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And The Bourne Ultimatum.
That's wild.
So those are some big time movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like sequels to big franchises.
Oh, and is producing the upcoming Flash Gordon movie. So to me, I feel like
wait, they're making a new Flash Gordon?
Yeah, a new Flash Gordon.
That's so funny. I literally, literally just saw this movie for the first time yesterday because it's a big part of Ted. Anyway, I'll talk about that. Mike.
That's very funny.
Wow, that's really funny. Okay, so yeah, they got a... But wait, actually, he doesn't... Does he have a lot of directing credit? Oh, he directed The Banker and The Adjustment Bureau. Okay.
Yeah. Which was good.
And
so I think there's a potential for the... Like, the creative that's attached, I do think there's the potential for it to... I'm thinking like, if I'm in their shoes and I work the level that they work, which is like, they're making stuff on a consistent basis, but it's not like there's a new thing that's making a mega hit every... You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's not like a new mega hit every... So it seemed like the crew are people that could potentially have been excited to make it, I think, but you know, you're not wrong in that it does seem like the idea is so. And this guy is doing the Star Wars new Jedi Order wrote that the director.
Yeah, no, there are big people attached to this project, and that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
did the studio come to these people and they were like, hey, we got this script.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, all right, times are hard, I guess. Let me just make this.
Yeah. Who knows how it's.
And so did the studio think this was going to make money? You know, they were like, okay, if we put enough pieces together, like maybe we'll make some money. Like.
Right.
And did it by being sold to Max for distribution? I don't think so. Right. It's like, it doesn't feel like it. Probably not.
No.
Now, I doubt it doesn't feel like they spent any money on advertising, because none of us knew this.
No, I can't even remember how I knew.
I just remembered it was on Max.
Yeah, that's what same.
I think it's Max. Wait, hold on. What did
Skylar has information. Oh, Brad Fuller, right? Yeah, Brad Fuller. I remember seeing that too. That Brad Fuller was
okay. Apparently, Brad Fuller said, and this is an interview with him, that the three writers came up with it while eating dinner, sort of bubbled up. The concept was always there. That stayed intact.
But Brad produces, he produced Quiet Place, all the Quiet Place movies. So
that's right.
So there's that thing. It's a little bit of that episode of The Studio where they're like trying to get the guy to do wink, the smile director to do wink. You know, it's like, it's a little bit of that. It's a little like, hey, like
so they did. Okay. And that must work sometimes. Like, I can't really think of times where that kind of such basic, I mean, in animation, I think it happens more. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think of like movies in which like such a lateral move so close to when the other thing came. The other problem with it's not like A Quiet Place was just one. There were sequels, you know, like
there were sequels, and they truly just kept remaking that first Quiet Place Day One. I already said this on the podcast, but A Quiet Place Day One and the first Quiet Place are the same movie. Just the circumstances are different because, and on one hand, they're prepared, and on the other hand, it's a surprise. But everything else is the same. It's like the same plot points in a way that's like so. It's like they just were like, we got to make another one.
And now that makes sense because it's a franchise, and people are like, oh, I freaking love, you know, like, I don't understand it with this because it was like, well, so you're making a movie that is lesser than the thing that did well.
Mm-hmm.
Smaller cast, frankly, no offense to Anthony Mackie, but Emily Blunt is a bigger star than he is.
Yeah, like, that's true.
And then you have like monsters that don't look as cool.
Yeah.
Right? Like they don't.
No.
And then a concept that's lesser.
Their design was cool. Like that, they are impenetrable. You know,
yeah.
But so were the Quiet Place monsters to an extent, right?
They seemed impenetrable.
You could only get underneath their skin when they're like listening for you,
right?
But
exactly.
you couldn't hit them any.
And they're
way.
So quick, like, yeah, and there's so many of them too.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we should talk about the movie. The reason we're not, I think, is because the movie is so simple. It's like, there's not much to talk about. So essentially, we don't even get the cool thing that happens in the beginning. I'm going to stop. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop comparing it to A Quiet Place.
Right. But we don't get the cool, like, you know, end of the world. Like, we do get over black, you know.
That's right.
The news we just hear news. But we don't see anything. There's no supported visuals with that.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the boy walking there's a marker that tells us like we are 240 yards below the line or something. Before we know what the line is, at this point, like, we don't know what it is. We see the line. We see that he's walking. You know.
There's a child,
a very small child.
Here's the monster, starts running. He runs, dives, you know, before he gets killed by this monster that looks whatever. Apparently, so Skylar just said that. Apparently, they didn't know the alien design until they had shot the movie. They said that we had a sense of what it was going to look like. But you just say to the actors, this is where it is. They kind of go with that.
No, but no way. No way they don't know what the money. There's no concept design that we can look at.
Like, how does this movie get greenlit without an idea of what this monster looks like?
This feels lazy. No, that it is.
It's so interesting because I'm like, they did this. It's really, to me, feels like I hope I am in a place one day where I get to just make bad movies so I can get a paycheck. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
this is not about the creators. Truly, it's not. And I'm not trying to crap on the creators. I don't understand why studios think that this stuff will make money. Yeah. If all they care about is the bottom line, why would they think that people would go to the theater to see this?
Yeah.
Or buy this. You know what I mean? Like,
but this is a product of writing for the algorithm now, right? Because it's slightly different than the direct to when you're doing it direct.
I think maybe that is right.
Right? Because when you're doing it direct to video, you already don't expect it to make X, Y, and Z money. So you're distributing it this way because you're gonna likely make your money through video sales, through rentals, through whatever.
Right.
But now they're like, well, what are the things that are selling? Just make exactly that again and release that in theaters. But that's not going to make money because it's not it's not original.
My only thing with that, and I completely agree, So why cast Anthony Mackie? Why make this budget $18 million?
Yeah.
Because it just feels like too much. I just am just like, why? Like,
yeah.
Why not just let this be what it's supposed to be, which is just a B movie? Like, why not just let this be a super, like
but
a super low
you
budget
can't,
thing?
Right? Like, because you, because the same thing. It's like, well, Anthony Mackie.
Is the only reason people are clicking on it?
Yeah, yeah. We need, it's got to be Anthony Mackie, you know, because that's the draw name, the draw or whatever, you know, the draw face or whatever. Yeah. And then the other things are the other pieces that'll get whoever else, you know. And again, and to the point that we've been talking about these movies, I love, like, if there's a type of movie that I like, sci-fi, I'll go to the fourth page and find a movie that I'm like, oh, and I'll watch that. And I think I've said this on the pod a few times. So like, this is the kind of movie that like I would love to just put on. But you start getting upset when it's like, why did it have all this money? And why is it Anthony Mackie? Why is it?
Well, I guess that's more my question, because you're right. So, and I will say this. I mean, we're not at the cause yet, but like, they did this with white people too. They do this with white people too. Did you see the movie The Gorge? With
I didn't, but I truly almost saw it. I did almost see it.
The Gorge, for people who have like The Gorge, it's like exactly this. I mean, it's a different concept, but it's exactly this in the sense of like there's barely anybody in it. It's like a super small cast, some literal sci-fi, like straight from the sci-fi channel premise. Yeah. Like, it feels like a cheap B movie that would be on when people used to watch television.
Yeah. Right.
Live.
Right.
You would be on the sci-fi channel. You just turn it on and be
you
like,
caught,
oh.
You caught it four scenes in. You know, you did.
And you're like, oh, what is this? It's like, well, there's a gorge and we have to protect it. We don't know what, like, there are mystery beings down there. We don't know what it is, you know, but we just know, like, we have to protect it, you know, and like, that's all it is. And you're like, great. And they're like, let's get Anya Taylor-Joy, who has to be, if you are ranking like the most popular female lead, she has to be in the top five.
Furiosa or about to be Furiosa at the time. So it was like, yeah, this is totally, she's up there. She's definitely up
and
there.
And Miles Teller has taken a little bit of a dip, but like he was in Top Gun Maverick. Yeah. He's huge. Like people know who he is. He was in Whiplash. Yeah. Like, so like, it's just like, I just think it's so interesting that this is the state of movies. Okay. All right. Let's just real quick. So we go. Yeah. So we're in Colorado. Yeah. We get the backstory.
The boy is, you know, sick. He could have, you know, but the boy is like, something's wrong with his lungs. He, you know, and so he could have had an attack as he was running away and that would have been it.
Why was he doing this too? I forgot.
He just wanted to see. There's like another town, and he wanted to try to get to the town. He's restless. He's just a restless.
He's restless. He hates living in this little town where there's no other kids. He's the only kid there, apparently.
Yeah, he's the only kid there, which truly has got to suck. It's like gotta be like
horrible,
awful. So like, but I mean, but I thought bold of the movie to introduce the first time we see someone crossing the line. It's this kid. Because that's another layer that I think like we could have continued to kind of explore to a degree that they don't, you know, but yeah. And then we meet Katie, who basically agrees. She's there too. She's a friend of the family's
a friend of the family. She's like the wife's best friend. We find out fairly quickly, Anthony Mackie's wife, his name is Will in the movie. Will's wife is dead. She died going out. Eventually, we learned that she went out with Nina, who's played by Marina McCarran. They went out because Nina felt like there was a way to kill the monsters. She convinced the wife to go, but then the wife died.
Right.
And so he just wants to protect his kid. Katie's there. Katie's also restless. Katie's like, we have to fight them eventually. She keeps saying that. He has an asthma I don't know if it's asthma. He has this attack with his lungs. They run out of a filter. There's no filters left. They give him the medicine and he's like, I need to go get new filters. He's going to die if I don't do this. I have to go to Boulder. I have to go below the line. He recruits
And this is wild too, because he's like, I have to go below the line. And then they're like, how many times? He's like, just twice.
Twice.
Oh, you know, just twice below the line.
Just twice. And he goes to Nina and he's like, hey, can you help me out? You've been down there. You've seen them up close. You're like one of the only people who survived who's like seen them up close. She's like, you're crazy. We're all going to die. That being said, you know, I do want to try to maybe get stuff from my lab because I still think I could kill them. So I'll go with you, even though we're all going to die. Katie's like, I'm going too. Nina says, okay, if you go, you will be the first to die. Which was like a death sentence. I was like, when that happened, when she said that, I was like, well,
we know
that's
who's
happening.
The first to die is going to be.
I was like, we know that's happening because there's only three people in this movie and somebody has to die. Won't be a movie if nobody dies.
I'm okay with one of them dying.
Yeah.
But what was frustrating about this was we also know what, what's the doctor's name? What's her character's name again? Nia. We know what Nia's trying to do. Nina. And we know that no one else can do what she's trying to do.
She has to live.
So she has to live.
And Will has to live because he's the main character.
Exactly.
Yeah, so exactly. It was like, so this other person's going to die. So there's zero stakes.
Sitting around waiting for her to die. They give us a couple times where we're like, is it now? Okay, it's not now.
Right. I guess the stakes are, we don't know when it's going to happen. Right.
Those first couple times were I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, I did think it was going to be early.
Those first couple times, I was like, oh, it's about to happen right now?
Yeah. So there are basically three main action pieces. So the first one is, he's like, okay, we just have to dip below this thing. Okay, they do it. There's supposedly like a compass that starts to go crazy if they're close because of like they have a magnetic field that's so large that it affects the compass and it starts going crazy. They see the lights in the distance. We eventually learn, by the way, that the lights they're attracted to CO2.
Yes. Yes.
Which,
because
are we the only animals that
there's simply no way, right?
Yeah, there's no way.
There's simply no way.
Whatever.
But they it doesn't, that part doesn't matter because we eventually
attack humans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We eventually learn that. I was wondering because I was like, when all these horses were growing around, I was like, how are these horses alive?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywho. Yeah, you know, and they do a good job, by the way, of dribbling out the information to keep us interested.
Yeah, I liked some of this. Some of this stuff I liked.
The first action piece is the ski lift. Did you like that?
That was incredible. I truly loved this part.
Yeah, I thought that
was fun. Yeah. I thought this part was great. I really thought Katie was going to go. Like, there was a couple times where it was just like, you're running too slow. Why are you going in a whole opposite other direction? Why? What's going on, Katie? Katie, what you doing? Okay. Seemed like Nina was right about what she was talking about. All of this was fun. And we kind of get our first real glimpse of the monster here too. And like, yeah, I mean, it does seem generic. It seems like a knockoff of the Quiet Place monster. It seems like,
it's impenetrable. Yeah. It's got
the Super 8 monster too, a little bit. It's like sort of just the Cloverfield monster. It's all of them.
A little bit of those monsters. Even the Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow. Don't they have things that they're
like? They sure do.
They love these tentacle stuff. So it has tentacles, but it also is built like it's impenetrable. And like when they shoot at it, it like clinks off like metal. And so you're like, oh, it's like a freaking rhinoceros. I don't know. It's just like,
yeah,
it's a weird.
And they said something like the only thing that the only way to incapacitate it for even a few seconds is to shoot it directly at the head. But we like never even see
never
that
really
being
see
effective.
That. Never really see that being effective at all.
Like it does not give you any, when they were doing, there was a ton of great hits directly to the face and it did nothing.
Yeah. And it felt like it did. It was just like, no, they're made of metal. And so bullets don't penetrate them.
Yeah. But I liked this sequence. surprised they all lived.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah, we get a fun ski lift sequence and they live. And then they get to the, you know, his grand plan is like, we're going to cut through the mountain. We're going to go through. I was a miner. We like carved this passage and they were like, in the mines, are you insane? He was like, it's 45 seconds. And they were like, well, here's all the bad stuff about this. One, my thing won't work in there because we're going to be underground. So we'll have no warning if the monster's coming. Two, it's dark and these things can see in the dark and we can't. Three, he's like, well, it's the entrance and the exits above the 8,000 feet. And they're like, this is when we learn they came from underneath the ground. And we're like, what?
Yes. I think we actually knew that before this, which made this frustrating in this scene, because he was talking about it like, we're going to be fine. And it was like, dog, you don't know where they at. Like, you don't know, like, you don't know where they are, how many of them there are. And you're saying, let's go to their lair. Like, it's just such a ridiculous thing to do. I was so mad at him for how he was talking about
it. It was just like, okay, great. And then they're like, well, this is the plan. There's nothing else we could do. Great. So they go in, then they get to a part where they're supposed to be, and they're like, oh, wait, this is blocked off.
Blocked
off. So we actually have to go further down, and now we have to go 1,000 yards, which is
level
way more than 45
seconds. Let's go to level 7. Let's go to level 7. Truly ridiculous.
So they do that.
They go to level 7.
Of course, the monster's right there. Chases them into a corner. There's literally nothing they could do. Katie thinks she finds a way out. She goes underneath the hole.
I was mad at this.
Apparently, she just went right back to where they started. And the monster's just right there staring at her. She's like, oh, whoops.
Now,
stab in the heart. Drag away.
It goes along with how she ran away with the ski lift scene. Because she just was like, I got to get out. Like, so it was in line with her character.
Correct.
I was mad at this because, like, it had all the makings of why didn't she listen? But at the same time, had she not been eaten by that monster, everybody would have been dead.
They would have been dead. The thing that was more infuriating was, like, she's trying to find a way out. She thinks she does. It isn't. And then the two of them are like, oh, man. Oh, look, that's actually the way out. It's right there.
Exactly.
And I was like, what the what? Why did she see that?
They wanted to seem like, man, Katie, what was Katie thinking? Well, I think that's one of Will's lines. What was she thinking? It's like, what do you mean? She saw a way out. She was thinking, I better get out of here. The monster's coming. That's what she was thinking.
Whatever. It's fine. I wish she died in a cooler way. She didn't. So now she's dead. They get out of this. They somehow climb out of this thing. And they're like, great. Our plan kind of worked. Now we get to get a car, drive to Boulder.
Yeah. They're there. They're straight. They're at her place.
They get to the hospital. And they're in the hospital. He's looking for the things. It takes them longer. She's like, this thing is here.
Yeah.
And then it was. This was fun and cool because it's much more fun to see them running in a place where the monster at least has to break through walls and stuff like that. It doesn't really fit
in
the building.
I liked this one.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny to me the way the way she practices the thing and it like does nothing. Like it somehow made what she was even going to do feel anticlimactic. Like the thought of like, what were we supposed to see? I guess just penetration, but it just made the act of shooting a gun feel so lame. I was like, whatever she ends up doing is going to feel lame after this because of how lame this sequence was for some reason. I'm not sure why.
What are you talking about?
Like when she was practicing the bullet and like thinking that she figured it out, but it doesn't work. It just made me go, I'm not looking forward to when it does work now.
I see. That's interesting.
there was something weird about it.
Yeah, because none of it is going to be as cool as Anthony Mackie shooting an oxygen tank exploding and the thing just shooting out of the building and landing on the ground. And it was like, that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
To me, that was the last cool thing. So no, that was cool though.
It was the last cool thing.
It was legitimately awesome. I was like, that was great. I was like, great. This was fun. I was like, okay, I'm back in. Then they're like, all right. She's like, we got to go back to my place. And he's like, you're freaking crazy.
Yeah.
She's like, this is the whole reason I didn't risk my life just for your stupid son. I don't care about your son. I'm trying to save the world. And he's like, ugh, fine.
Oh, you're right.
I'll go save my son. You go try to save the world. Then his tire gets blown and his car flips over. I mean, sure.
No, this was crazy. He's surrounded. This essentially, we see him hobble. After this, we see him hobble up the mountain.
Yeah, because he was in a car accident where in which he had a concussion.
And he hobbles up the mountain. These things have giant.
They're right there.
They're right. There's three of them. They can leap up the mountain as far as I'm concerned.
Because we've seen them leap onto a freaking ski lift.
Yes. So it's like just because they wanted them to move at that pace. Just
they literally said, like, when with the ski lift thing, I forgot how far away the 8,000, they were like, I think it was like, I don't know, like 400 feet away or something. Mm-hmm. And she was like, let's run. And they were like, we'll never make it. And I was like, damn, you won't make it 400 feet? Jeez, I was like, that thing's pretty far away. So for what they set up,
yeah,
I was just like, what do we even do? What are we even watching here?
It made everything that happened before seem so like convenient. Like you always have to climb a mountain to get away from them. You always have to. And then they are so big that they can clear boulders. Like, there's just no outrunning them. There is no outrunning them. We've seen them outrun them several times. And we're now about to see him, after getting his car gets flipped over, we're about to see him outrun three? I don't.
And we also know that bullets do not slow them down in the slightest.
At all.
Even a little bit. It's not even like the Terminator, where he kind of gets slowed down a little bit.
Right.
Nope. This is like not even close. Okay.
Nope.
But he somehow manages to buy enough time for her to come in, and she got the magic bullet. Boom, boom.
It worked.
The magic bullet. So it was like cobalt. What was it?
Yeah. And essentially it did some, like, it created a reverb reaction inside that.
Right. She explained it. It was kind of boring.
Yeah. But I did like the ending where we just kind of see just like a bunch of explosions and like audibly hear crowds of people cheering each time one explodes. It's like, this is cute for humanity. Good for them. Good for existence.
Wait, were there? Oh, I didn't catch that. There were actually people cheering.
They were audibly cheering after each explosion. Funny. It was because we're so far away, we don't see them. You just hear, yeah, you know, like after each one. It's like, oh, good for them. So really funny. Good for them. Well, and then they're like, there's three more ships coming. And that, to me, this is bold. Because what I picture now, because it's like, there's no way anyone survives another invasion. There's just no way. But I'm like, but now I'm picturing, like, okay, they make armor from them, you know, and like they can come up with weaponry and stuff. And I'm like, all right, that's
well, we don't even know. Like, but did you say, like, they basically go, she go, because later on they're like, they just hunt us. Also, by the way, Anthony Mackie's character in this movie is an idiot, like an actual idiot. Like the line that you said in the beginning of this of like magic, like you want a magic bullet? It's like, so, yeah. Sir, science is not magic.
Right.
What I just described to you is a scientific theory based off of a lot of evidence. A part of that evidence is the compass. You know how we can tell when they're coming?
Yeah.
Because the compass, that's magnetism. That's a real thing.
Someone read the script and they were like, well, it can't just be a bullet. And they were like, great, we'll put that in Anthony Mackie's mouth. We'll give that line to Anthony Mackie because...
It's a dummy. The other thing, too, when she's like, well, it kind of doesn't make any sense. Like, they're not predators because predators eat their... they don't eat us. They only kill us. It's like, and like they don't sleep or whatever. It's just like they're just going after us. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's obviously just a predator, man. Like, you're way overthinking this. And it's like, oh, okay, human beings who exist in the year 2024, you don't know what a machine is? What?
I liked that they were like, maybe it is the end of times and it's God. I liked that.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
And I liked, there was like one more aspect of it that I was like, I think I do appreciate talking about it like this. It was absurd to then go, it's just a predator, as opposed to anyone saying like, maybe they're from outer. You sort of start to want someone to say something like that. Or
they're like, well, they came from the ground. It's like, why wouldn't you think they were aliens? You think they're just some weird, it's just like, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Just because they came from underground, that doesn't make them not. Have you seen any alien movie? Okay, yeah.
I know. I do love that she was like, when he was like, wait, they're machines? Well, who programmed them? And then she just looks up at the sky. I was just like, great. We're not going to get an explanation. It's just,
no.
I don't know. And also, by the way, if it is just aliens, some aliens programmed them and sent them down here to kill human beings. Haven't they killed enough human beings for you guys to come down now to finish up the job?
Yeah, and that, and I think that must be, it's not that they're coming at the end because a bunch of their machines are dead. They're coming at the end because it was like now time.
They were already.
You know, yeah. I think, but who knows? You know, who knows? I'll watch Elevation 2. I'll watch it.
There's no chance it's being made. Chance.
I'll watch it. Maybe we should let them know that I will watch it and then they might make it. I am more interested in Elevation 2 than I was in Independence Day 2, which similarly did the like, we're now using their technology against them. And it was like, oh, what are you doing?
Well, I mean, at least with Elevation 2, I guess there is the hope that you have whatever these aliens are different and cooler and they could, you know, we're getting something else.
Right. Well, they're going to be worse. I mean, you know, they can go above 8,000 feet and they, you know, and they're not, yeah. You know, and they.
But they literally never tell us why it can't go above.
They kept saying beats me each time. And they would keep bringing it. They brought it up even after they killed them. So why 8,000 feet? Who knows?
Who knows?
You got to watch the sequel.
Oh, wait. And I wanted one person to be like, I have a theory. The reason it's 8,000 feet is because that was an arbitrary number set by some Hollywood producer who thought this would be a cool idea.
No, it's 8,000 feet. It's 8,000 feet. This is the real reason. It's 8,000 feet because there is some kind of ship at like the Earth's core that only has a radius that goes above
the alien ship is in the Earth's core.
Yeah, that where they were stationed. That only has a radius that goes to.
Don't we see the aliens coming from the sky?
Yes, we do see the aliens coming from the sky. But I'm talking about the ones that came out.
I see.
Do you know what I'm saying? The ones that came out, the creatures that came out. They were in, you know, they were housed in some kind of a ship that was under ground.
It's time for the cause.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 18th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helps the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. If we feel like the film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it's someone helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't really help the cause at all, we don't really give it anything. So,
damn.
Count of three, elevation.
Damn.
One.
I want to do the cause right now. Can we,
two,
can we do something now?
Three.
Okay. All right. Okay. Both. Right, yeah. I thought it might have been nothing. I was thinking about nothing.
The reason I gave it a white palm is because Miles Teller and Anya Taylor-Joy did The Gorge.
Exactly. That's the exact reason
why. And I was like, hey, it's cool that black people get to do this too. Great.
That is the only reason I did it.
And to my knowledge, Anthony Mackie's ability to lead films was not hurt by this movie.
Not at all.
They're like, hey, and so he's one of ours. And if they're like, great, we'll put a black actor in front of a movie that is devoid of real creativity, but hopefully it will make some money. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for him.
Good for him.
Good for him.
And some people like watching this stuff.
Truly.
You do. You said you were, not this specific one.
Not
but,
this one specifically.
And
but
here's
like,
the thing. I kind of do too, right? Like I watched The Gorge. It was bad. I didn't like it. I didn't like this, but I will watch these things. I will.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I am the target audience. Like I like sci-fi and, you know.
Absolutely.
Every now and then, something's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Instagram. You can go to blackmenpodcast.com, our website, where you'll find links to our Patreon and Red Circle. We have bonus episodes every other week that come out on Patreon and Red Circle. It helps. It's only $5 a month, and it helps keep this podcast free. So, hey, if you have some money, go check it out. There's so much to listen to. I feel like that's been really great and really fun. Also, if you're in Los Angeles and you like watching improv, we're continuing our cage match run.
It is unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
May 21st, 10 p.m. at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles.
Let's go.
You can follow me at John Braylock on Instagram. James.
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc., ruleofthreeinc.com. And I think that's it. But also, if you can, watch Fairly Odd Parents. I mean, it's at this point, it's a lost cause. But watch Fairly Odd Parents. And just, you know, leave a comment. Say you liked it. Tell Paramount stuff you liked it. You know what I mean?
Love it.
Just tell them you liked it.
They also announced the TED Animated show. I don't know when it's coming. It won't come out till next year. But they announced TED Animated. It's great.
now break and talk about it.
Now
it's been months. It's been months.
Writing on it. Yeah. It's
right?
Been months.
When did you start? January?
January, yeah. Beginning of January.
Yeah, that's wild. And it keeps going, right? How long you want it for?
That I don't know, but...
Okay, yeah. But they didn't give you... It's y'all just doing stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Y'all just doing stuff. Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. Not gonna jinx it.
Yeah, no, we ain't saying nothing. We ain't saying nothing. We just going. We just doing our thing.
And what else is there to talk about? I think that's it. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.